I'm sorry. Today's scripture, is this the time? Today's scripture is from Matthew 4, 1 through 11, NIV version. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of God.
So it's the season of Lent. It's the season of self-reflection and confession. So I've got a confession to make. I've got a hunger, kind of an unseemly hunger, kind of almost unholy hunger. And it is for, I don't know, causes a little bit of stress in my marriage, causes a little bit of stress in my home. It's the hunger I have, the deep insatiable hunger I have for hamburger gravy and mashed potatoes. You laugh, but no, I do. And the reason it's an unseemly hunger is my wife is an absolutely beautiful cook. She's a wonderful cook. She makes the most amazing Italian food. She searches out new recipes. She makes California cuisine. It's light, it's bright, it's beautiful. But when she asks me what I want, it's hamburger gravy and mashed potatoes. So it's a kind of an unholy hunger in my household. But it's not all my fault. I mean, you know, look. It's more than just a meal to me. It's a memory. It's just something that we had when I was a kid, right? I always wanted to have it on my birthday, and I have four brothers, so getting enough of it was always really a dicey proposition. So now when I have it, I want all of it, and I want as much as I can get. So I'll start eating it, you know? I'll start eating it, and I'll eat it way past, you know, being satisfied, way past being full, way past being kind of embarrassing, you know, way over all the way to, you know, now I can't move. Now my stomach is hurting from hamburger gravy and potatoes. I just have this insatiable hunger. We all have hungers. I bet you have hungers too. And I bet they're not all for food, right? We all have hungers because we're human. And some of them are carnal hungers that are physical. Some of them are emotional. You know, we hunger for things like significance, like being important. We hunger for things like power. We hunger for love that's a real self-filling kind of love, the kind of love that we hope will make us feel more complete, you know. We all have hungers because we are all human. And hungers are not bad in and of themselves. But when our hungers begin to take a central position in our lives, they begin to become central to who we are, then they begin to occupy a place that's really only meant for God. And only when God is really at the center of who we are, at the center of our desire, Only then can our hungers, those other hungers, be kind of put off to the side, be put in perspective, take their proper place. And only when God is really at the center of us and our desires, only then do we even have a chance at satisfying God's hunger for us. God's holy hunger that you and I should become the kinds of people he created us to be. And that's kind of what's going on, one aspect of this fantastic passage that we heard today. There's so much in this. But this passage really begins with Jesus at his baptism. You all know the story of Jesus' baptism, pretty much. Jesus is beginning his ministry. He comes down to the Jordan River where John the Baptist is baptizing people, helping them to turn away from sin, helping them to start to be prepared for the Messiah's coming. And Jesus comes down to the river, remember? And Jesus is put into the river by John the Baptist, and he's put underneath the river, and he's brought back up. And as Jesus comes out of that water, the people around, they witness an amazing thing. They see the Holy Spirit descend. And it looks like a dove or something like that. And it lights upon Jesus. And it is a confirmation of his ministry, the beginning of his ministry. And at the same time, people around, they hear something. They hear something that to some sounds like thunder, and to others it sounds like a voice. And the voice is the voice of God that says, "This is my son. I love him. I love him. I'm pleased with him." It confirms Jesus' true identity as Son of God. So out of this moment, this peak experience of Jesus, confirmation of his ministry, confirmation of his identity, out of that moment, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, leads him to the next step. And that's the desert, the wilderness, where he will fast for 40 days, deprive himself of that most fundamental carnal need, deprive himself of food, and in that place, he comes face to face with the enemy. This is the same enemy who at the dawn of time stalked those first humans, Adam and Eve, stalked them. Like a cougar will stalk a gazelle, you know. Stalks them. And then moves in. The devil comes to them, these young humans. And first he flatters them. Implies that they're smarter than God. That they don't really need God. And then he begins to probe for their weaknesses. Probe for their hungers. And he lights upon that hunger that is so common to young people, and we all remember it, that hunger for those things that are bright and shining and seem so appealing. Huh? And he probes for those hungers. He probes for the hunger, and he finds that one that's also so common to young people, and we all remember it, that hunger that causes people to believe almost anything because they've yet to live almost anything. He probes for that hunger that we all have, that tempts us to believe we don't really want or need any authority over us, that we can be God unto ourselves. And when those young humans are tempted, they fall so easily. And sin comes into the world, and misery comes into the world. Well, it's that very same enemy that Jesus meets after his 40 days of hunger. Jesus, who has come to now remedy that that first fall. Jesus, who Paul will call the new Adam, he's there now, and he faces that very same enemy. And the enemy begins to use the same sort of tactics. He kind of flatters Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are super powerful. You can do anything. And then he tempts him. He tempts him to satisfy his hunger and turn the stones at his feet into something he can eat. He says, turn the stones at your feet into something you can eat. And you know, it all sounds so reasonable, doesn't it? Why not? Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. He's done his fast. He's done. He's had his 40 days. Doesn't he deserve to eat something? What harm is it going to do if he turns those stones into bread? It's not going to hurt anybody else. And after all, you know, to hunger is human. Hunger happens to humans. And it's natural to want to satisfy our hungers. And listen, right now, Jesus is 100% God. He is also 100% human. He is 100% subject to hunger, subject to temptation, subject to all of that, to his weaknesses. He is 100% human, and he hungers. He hungers. And it is natural for human beings to want to satisfy their hungers. So he has a real decision to make. Same way we all have decisions to make every minute of the day when we're tempted. He has a real decision to make. And he chooses. Even though it's natural to satisfy our hungers, he chooses to be unnatural. He chooses to bypass satisfying his hunger so that he might satisfy the holy hunger of God for him, the hunger that God has for him to be who he's meant to be. Huh? So he doesn't listen to his feelings. He doesn't listen to his own experience. He doesn't listen to whatever other voices he might have heard or might be coming to him at that moment. He listens to the authority of God as it comes to him in God's word as it is written. Man does not live by bread alone, not by his hungers, not by his hungers, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is his answer. His answer is the answer of his Father, as it is written. And with that answer, he shows us an image of what we are meant to be. We're humans, and we hunger. But we are humans made in the image of God. We're humans made in the image of God. And we are meant to be more than the sum total of our hungers. Huh? That's my dog, who's the sum total of her hungers. And I know you have dogs and you think they're really cute and that they have minds and that they think things and maybe they read when you're not looking and all that kind of whatever. My dog is the cutest dog in the world. It's cuter than your dog. My dog is beautiful. She will melt you with her eyes, but she is only the sum total of her hungers. She wants to be fed. She wants treats. And she wants her stomach rubbed. Okay, so in that way, she's a little like a human. But anyway, the sum total of her hungers. We're meant to be more than that. We're human beings with a divine spark within us that is meant to light us up and to dispel the darkness of our deepest hungers. We're human beings, made in the image of God, meant to stand aside from satisfying our own hunger so that we might satisfy God's holy hunger for us, His holy hunger for us to be the people He's created us to be, as it is written in Psalm 8 and verse 5, just a little lower than the angels. We're meant to be just a little lower than the angels and crowned with His glory and His honor. So, we are going to get hungry this week. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted, you know, by our hunger for significance. And it may tempt us to anger, to pride, you know. It may tempt us to cast aspersions on others to lift ourselves up. We're going to be hungry for power, a power that may cause us to tempt us to abuse other people, to go off on other people. We may be tempted in our bodies. We may be tempted to physically or emotionally break the covenant bonds of marriage, and this happens all the time. To break those covenant bonds of marriage, where a man and a woman are meant to come together in a holy union, one flesh, one mind. We may even have a deep hunger that will tempt us into that so-called, and I'm saying this, so-called victimless pit of pornography. We may even have a hunger. We may even be tempted to deny how little we want to be tempted. St. Augustine was a guy, he was an early church father, and he was always struggling with his carnal nature. And he said that when he was young, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed for chastity. But as he got older, he recognized the truth. He said that while he was young, he was praying with his lips, "Oh Lord, Lord, make me chaste." But with his heart, he was adding, "But please, 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 just not now." Oh, that happens. No, we're called to more than that. We're called to more than that. We are called to follow the example of Jesus, to be empowered by Him, to follow Him, to follow that one who was tempted and who was victorious. Now we might say, look, you know, I don't know. I am weak. Jesus was super strong. To which Jesus would say, exactly. That's why you need to hold on to Him. Embrace Him. Hold on to Him with all our might. Because as it is written in Hebrews, we don't have a Savior. We do not have a Savior who is not sympathetic with our weakness. Rather, we have a Savior who was tempted in every way and yet was without sin. We have Him on our side of the rope. And there is not one hunger, not one temptation that we can face today or tomorrow or any day that Jesus did not face, did not wrestle with, and did not defeat. Nor is there a temptation to which we might fall that God will not forgive us if we sincerely want to resist the next time. And if we are sincerely putting our trust in Jesus, Jesus who's on our side. See, we're all full of hungers because we're human. Those hungers can be carnal. Those hungers can be emotional for significance, for power, for that love, especially that self-serving love. But listen, the more that we feed those hungers, the bigger that they get. It's only when we put Jesus in the center that those hungers get put in their proper place. And only then, only with God in the center, can we even have a chance of satisfying His holy hunger for us. That we be those people, His people, just a little lower than the angels, and crowned with His glory and His honor. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for Your word as it is written. Lord, we're grateful for the Holy Spirit that makes that word come alive for us and makes that word power within us to do right. And we are grateful for Your forgiveness, O God, for Your Son who was tempted, who was victorious, and who, O Lord, died to pay the price for our sin, that we may truly be Your sons and Your daughters. We thank You and we praise You this day. In Jesus' name, amen.